Da-da-da. It's a Tuesday morning. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
Going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
Going to be one of those hard-to-dress days?
Yeah, true.
It's 29 degrees right now, and it's pretty cold. Mm-hmm. I had frost on the windshield. But we will be around 60
nice
by 2 o'clock.
And I think sun.
Yes, it's a beautiful day today. So either dress for leaving and freeze your ass off this morning, or dress for going and sweat your ass on the way home.
All right.
So whatever you're into, go nuts. Kimmy, if I asked you who the trendiest person in the room was, who would you say?
I mean, I got to give it to the man who orders his clothes from around the world, Pet.
Oh, yeah, they call him Global Tommy.
King Trend.
He's got socks from countries everywhere.
He's got socks from countries that don't even exist anymore.
Yeah,
Eastern European socks.
Yeah, they get overthrown constantly due to the sock wars.
So, I mean, Tommy looks like the trendiest person in the room. Like, if you saw him from a distance, Kimmy, I would agree with you. But if you hear him talk, he's power washing his patio on St. Patrick's Day parade day. So I'm going to go no. I mean, you're the one that's out in the bars the most.
Sure.
Oh, of course.
She complimented you.
I know. I'm saying yes, of course.
She's
got a drinking problem.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
Nobody in this room, I don't think, would be into what we're about to discuss.
Oh.
Because.
Too young for us?
I don't. Well, that's just it. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know about this business.
Well, who's doing it?
All right. So it's in Fairport, and that's the new hotspot, right? In the greater Rochester.
That's the Strip.
Yes. But we've seen, even outside of Fairport, in downtown Rochester, did you call it the Strip?
Oh, it is. That's like an entertainment strip now. What else? It's like mini Vegas.
Kimmy, you called him the trendiest man in the room.
Yep, I
and
know.
He referred to Fairport as the Strip.
The Strip.
The Strip. Kimmy, we've seen downtown trendier restaurants and bars open up over the last couple of years.
Yep.
Right? Okay. This would be the trendiest of trend in Fairport.
What are they doing?
So it's a bar called the Blind Pig. It is a speakeasy.
Oh, I saw this on Instagram.
Okay.
No, your girl down the hall.
Our
girl. You
know
why you saw it on Instagram? Because you're trendy.
Yeah. Our girl.
Yes. So Hope, who works down in the B, went and did a video about it, like on Instagram.
Yeah.
And the way this works is, like we said, it's a speakeasy. You need a password to get in.
Yeah. Like the old school, like, Prohibition.
Yeah, and the door is, like, hidden. It's a secret door. Mm-hmm. So, like, walking by it, you wouldn't know that it exists.
Yeah.
The only way you get a password.
Say the secret word.
Thank you. The only way you get a password is to make a reservation.
Okay.
But apparently, it is impossible to get a reservation at this
point. So the joint slammed.
Well, here's why. It only seats. Now, the information I have in front of me is a little dated, so maybe it's different now. This is from like a year ago. It only seats like 30 people.
That's it?
That's it, yeah. And it's only open like Tuesday and Wednesday nights.
Wait, there's no weekend?
No. This is the information I have. And if I'm wrong, 252-WCMF, this is what I have been, this is what's been shared with me.
How can you say open?
Okay,
like
so that? I don't know if it's like, because there used to be one, like down in the South Wedge. You know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about Southeast?
I think it's still there. but it, like they had a regular bar, and then the speakeasy part was only open like certain times.
Okay.
So like they still had, so they still, like you could still go there and get a drink. It just, you didn't get let into like the secret part.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so it says, okay, this is open by reservation only Tuesday and Wednesdays. The maximum group size, you can't have more than 6 people. Your reservation is for between 6 and 10 p.m., and you can come anytime between that time frame.
Unless the coppers show up, say, bust the whole place wide open.
So according...
It's a raid.
It's great if you don't want to be like social.
Yeah.
But it's pretty intimate. It's only 30 people.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like, you're with a small group.
All right, but here's the thing.
Kind of just keep to yourself if you want.
All right, Kimmy, I'm guessing someone that's into a speakeasy where you need a password, as soon as you walk up there, they're going to be like, can you believe this strange person I just met? Isn't this fun? This seems like the place you're going to have to interact with the most people, Kimmy.
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So there is a fine line between cool and trendy.
Yeah.
And hipster doofus.
Yeah.
And I don't know where on the side of this line a speakeasy in Fairport that's only open Tuesday and Wednesday falls.
Hmm.
I mean, it feels exclusive if you're able to get in there.
Okay.
So I don't know if what that falls under.
Okay.
Is that trendy?
It's not a speakeasy if everybody knows where it is.
Okay. Yeah, he's right about that.
Like, so that first part kind of not there, you know, kind of sure. ruins it, you know.
Sure. Well, yeah, but I mean, I guess you can't make money if people don't know where
yes,
you are.
Yes, yes.
But then again, I would also argue you have a hard time making money when you're only open Tuesday and Wednesday.
How do you do that? You only serve 30 people.
Could you pick more awkward days to be open?
Yeah.
Tuesday and Wednesday. Who's available on a Tuesday and Wednesday? Now, I sound like an old man.
No, but
my kid's got hockey.
But to go belly up at a bar on a Tuesday night.
In a speakeasy.
Because you're going to do some drinking. I mean, if you're really going to go to just a speakeasy.
Well, are you? I don't know. All right, so I'm on their website right now.
Do they have like the old authentic, like old school, like drinks and like menu?
It says they serve drinks, traditional, a take on traditional drinks from the 20s and 30s.
So prohibition drinks.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Stuff like
well,
that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're going to go with the password.
Yeah. I'll have a Zephyr, please, and a plate of boiled potatoes, see?
I can't imagine the amount of people that show up thinking they're going to guess the password.
Oh, good call. Where do they get their passwords from?
I don't know.
So you make a resi, you get the password.
Yes, according to this
article here. Resi.
But what if it's like 1, 2, 3, 4? Has anybody ever accidentally guessed the password?
I don't know.
Because if you guess the password and then they go in and like, what's your name on the reservation? Like, it kind of eliminates the need of... Because you could just say, what's your name?
Right.
Because you got a list of people who made reservations. Which
not
again,
as fun, though.
But it makes it silly. Like, we're playing pretend. You're a grown-ass person.
Yeah, you're kind of going into it knowing you're playing.
But do you get, like, old-school passwords from the 30s?
I don't like, say... What would be... Nope, do not ask what words in the 30s.
No,
like, that would be relatable to the 1930s.
Like what?
Password is Hoover, see? Or Trolley. Or Butch.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we're talking about the Blind Pig in Fairport. It's a speakeasy, an old-school speakeasy. You need a password to get in. The door is hidden. They will tell you where to go.
Mm.
It's only open Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Groups of six or more are not allowed. It only seats 30, and it's like the most popular place in Rochester right now.
So do they have like photos of what the place looks like on the inside?
Kind of looks like your grandma's house.
So yeah, is it just a bar? Do you sit down and eat dinner? Or
so
it
says they have small plates.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Boiled potatoes, right?
Stop saying boiled potatoes.
Little apps.
Yeah. Because, like, this does nothing for me. And I mean that with all due respect.
You're not even a little curious?
Nah. Because here's the thing. There's other bars along the way that have these signs that say open and doors that aren't locked. And I'm not trying to be a dick. Because, like, I
don't know. Every now and then you want to experience something a little out of the ordinary.
You know what? I hate this. My wife would be so
don't
in
tell
on
her.
This so hard. I really hope she's not up and listening right now. Like, I'm already, my skin is crawling.
Yeah.
Based on the people I know my wife would force me to talk to in a place like this. But here's the thing. As much as I sit and criticize it, you can't get a reservation.
Yeah. Right.
It's wildly popular. So I don't know if I'm wrong or if they're wrong.
Yeah.
Who's the wrong one here? Because this is the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life.
So it works. It's working.
I guess.
I went to one once, and I don't know if this would qualify as a speakeasy or just like a different version of that. But you'd walk into where the location of the bar said it was, and you go in the front door, and it looks just like you're in like a supply closet.
Oh.
Okay.
And you're supposed to like guess where the door is to get into the actual
bar. What
the
hell is this, Joey?
And I'm like, we are either in the wrong spot or about to get kidnapped. Because I was, for a while, I was like, maybe we're not, maybe the door isn't in here until like somebody else came in and showed us where the door was, but. Yeah, it took us a while to get there.
And that was the end of Kimmy's speakeasy story. No, I mean, to your point about it being popular. So I have found the website.
Yeah.
I found the website where we make reservations. It says here they are currently booking through April of 2025. It is right now March 18th. There is not an available date or time open.
Goddamn.
So they are booked up until May.
Well, there goes my Tuesdays.
Kimmy, would you go to something like this?
I would check it out.
Why?
Because I'm just curious.
About what?
I don't know what it looks like on the inside.
Okay.
I don't even think you'd have to make it a speakeasy. Just like something like kind of old looking like that I'd be interested in seeing.
But I want to read you a thing. Yeah. I want to read you a note. This is from...
Girls, I will say women my age love a restaurant that looks like your grandma's house.
Well, I don't... Okay. Explain that to me.
We love it. I don't know.
Explain that to me.
I love the old wallpaper. I don't know what it is. The old plates.
My wife does the same thing. Like hotel rooms, Airbnb, or like bed and breakfast and bars that look like your grandma's house. My wife loves eating at my grandma's house.
So your grandmother would be like my mother's age. Are we around?
No, like your age.
So
what?
I couldn't be her grandfather.
Bro, you look just like her grandma, actually. Her grandma had that same sweater and jacket.
Her grandma's like 90.
Her grandma had those same brown orthopedic shoes that you're wearing.
You're so comfortable.
You look like you're going to bowl in a competition for women with bunions. You were saying, Kirby, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's about 90.
Yeah, so like, I guess, that's the way my mother's house looked.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess you go back to like your childhood and Nana's house.
No, kind of what it is, maybe.
But why?
It's a comfort thing.
Feels like you're in somebody's home. I don't know.
Okay, so like my wife and I went to this bed and breakfast a couple weeks ago, right? And what Kimmy is describing is where we were staying.
Yeah.
And like it was a romantic weekend. And I keep trying to explain to my wife, like, look, I'll lay it down wherever you need it, right? But it is distracting when you are asking me to perform in my grandma's house.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because all I could think about is my grandma. And with all due respect to my grandma, God rest her soul, don't really get a boner when I'm thinking about my grandma. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to sleep there, but I'll definitely eat there.
But it doesn't. Okay. Like, a romantic, fun evening does not line up with anything that ever happened in my grandma's house.
Yeah, but I think I could get, I mean, because you have this weird thing about family rooms and
like
sexuality. Like, you couldn't bang boundaries. Your girlfriend in your parents' bed.
Because my parents were also having sex in that bed.
I like to think I'm so open-minded. No matter what the wallpaper is on the walls, I can still feel you up.
No, again, I can do it.
No, I can do it.
You could. The decor does not bother you in the bedroom.
I don't need to. There ain't no muscling through it. I'm ready to go.
Okay. No, again.
You're struggling. I'm not.
Struggle is the wrong word. I'm a man.
Like, it doesn't even matter. You could leave the photos up. I don't care.
Oh, come on.
Confirmation
man.
Pictures. I don't care. We're doing this, man. I am nutting up.
What? 252 up. WCMF. Up. We started this conversation talking about a speakeasy in Fairport. It's called the Blind Pig. It's only open Tuesdays and Wednesday. You need a password to get in. The password you get by making a reservation on their website. It only allows 30 people at a time in the place. Your password, your reservation is good from 6 to 10 when they are open. So you got 4 hours to hang out and drink. The problem is reservations are impossible to get. Again, we're on this website right now. They're booking through April. There is not a date available. You cannot get into this place. So despite the fact that it's open the two weirdest nights of the week, despite the fact that you will drive past 15 bars where the doors are not locked to get in and they have all the alcohol you want, this is one of the most popular things in the greater Rochester area. And it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. And either this is dumb or I'm officially completely out of touch. And I get that I'm probably the second one.
Well, they started this a few years ago because there was one of these in Pittsburgh, like in Monroe Avenue by the Spring House.
Yeah.
And then there was this other place, and I want to say it was in the Wedge. It was upstairs. And I went with our old boy Vinny. What?
I was just talking about this earlier.
No, was that the place you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, how many could there be in the South Wedge?
How many South Wedge Southeast.
No. The South Wedge wasn't a speakeasy. The South Wedge one was, it was upstairs, but they only served you old school drinks.
Oh, gotcha.
But it wasn't a speakeasy.
Okay.
And so I went with our boy Vinny when he was doing that booty thing.
Speaking of hipster doofuses.
Oh, yeah. But, like, you couldn't get, like, any other kind of, like, normal drinks. They only served you old school drinks. And those guys rolling like suspenders and, you know, like that 1930s look.
I always wonder when you walk into those bars. Why
they're all closed.
No, there are still some bars that are like.
There, I think
no,
there
the
are
two I speak of
gotcha.
Are no longer.
The two I have spoken.
Stay with me, will you, for God's sakes?
Sorry.
I'm the one that drinks
at night.
We got to
stay with you. You're sitting there in La La Land until it's time for you to talk.
No, I'm enjoying your story.
He's in his own personal speakeasy. He needs a password to get into his own head, and he forgot it. No, I mean the bartenders have to wear the suspenders
shirts.
I've always wondered, guys that have to work those jobs, if they get excited to put that outfit on every night.
Can't.
Because they think it makes them look unique.
They most of the time, they look like guys that wear suspenders outside of the job. Right. Because they have like the curly mustache to go with it.
They got a hat that's supposed to be bent up at the brim, but they kept it flat.
Like, the only people I knew that wore suspenders on a regular basis when we were working were jugglers.
Yeah, yeah.
And magicians.
Which never made any sense to me, because does the belt not work while you're throwing stuff in the air?
I guess. When you're doing
down?
Those bats.
But no, like, there's something else I want to talk about. Because we were just talking about this off the air, because you and your wife are going to see your stepson, daughter-in-law,
yeah, we're going to Chicago,
grandkids,
yeah.
all this stuff, right? Yeah. And the hotel you're staying at has one of these like fancy bars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were looking at the drink menu just for S's and G's, and they have this drink on the menu called a French 75.
Yeah, you turned me on to it.
No, I didn't turn nothing on because I've never had one before.
But you knew of it.
I know about it because my wife drinks it. And I had never heard of this drink until I met my wife. A French 75, if I remember correctly, is whiskey, Prosecco, which is like sparkling wine.
Yeah, yeah, and like I think Italian wine.
Like lemon or some kind of citrus in there, right? And I assumed you knew what this was.
Never heard of it.
Okay, even though you're a liquor connoisseur. Mm. And it occurred to me because I got curious and I went down the way to ask another like hipster chick who works in the building.
Yeah.
She knew exactly what it was. Billy Kidd down at the country station, no idea. You know why? Because he's an American man.
Oh, well, yeah.
But it seems that this specific drink,
yeah.
the French 75, are only served at hipster doofus, pretentious for the sake of being pretentious bars. And I'm wondering what other drinks are well known to like the hipster doofuses of the world that you or I have never heard of. Because I guess the French 75 has existed since like the 1800s.
I've seen it on menus and never knew what it was in it.
Sounds god awful.
Yeah.
It's not really for you, though. Not your type.
Okay. I understand why
you have it. I would, there's a reason I didn't turn to Kimmy and ask, have you heard of a French 75? There's a reason.
Why?
Well, you're a beer chick.
Yeah, but I've been to places where it'd be on the menu. You know, yeah.
Here's the thing.
It's not so much fun when they're picking on you, is it?
Well, I've probably been to more of these places than you guys have recently.
I understand, Wheeze. I get it. You've been around.
Here's the thing. If she had had it, she'd have a reason to be upset, but she's mad that we thought she didn't have it.
No,
we were right. She didn't have
ask.
It. No, I didn't ask because I knew you hadn't had it.
Well, but I know, but I've heard of it.
Okay.
I've never been in there, but I've been around there.
But I never look at you as a hipster doofus.
Well, I don't think
that's
hipster,
a compliment.
I think like hipster is a dated term at this point. Like, I don't know what hipster doofus you're talking about.
We got a hipster in the building, and that person is hipster.
Which one?
I can't say. I just said doofus.
Okay.
I can't picture a hipster.
My wife is up. I'm sorry. The French 75. I got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Gin, prosecco, lemon, simple syrup.
Oh my god! That still
sounds
terrible.
No, it's disgusting. It looks disgusting.
I guess the wine with the booze. This doesn't do it.
It's like somebody that had nothing left. They only had a couple things left in the liquor cabinet. Mixed it together. It was like, this is the thing now.
Yeah, it's like an LA Expressway, which is the most disgusting.
You know what that is, Kimmy?
No. Oh, is that where they pour all the? What are the
so you know the mat where they pour?
Yeah,
all the drinks?
I thought that was called. What the hell? Somebody, there was a different term for it.
You can call it whatever you want. Ass crack is the most nauseating thing I've watched somebody drink.
Why are you?
New Jersey Turnpike.
Ah, that's
so you just pull up that mat at the end of the night and they pour it into a shot glass and you do it.
Ah.
It has to be. Just think of the germs and everything else that's in that thing at the end of it. And soap.
Yeah.
And
yeah. You're drinking more than just liquor.
Yeah.
It's where COVID started. I don't know if you know that.
Probably.
There's going to come a time.
There'll be a time.
Thank you. Where your job passes you by.
Oh, sure.
Right? The technology that is required to do it, you can't do anymore. Mm-hmm. And if you're lucky, you have someone around you that can help you with that. In this room, if you listen to The Break Room on a regular basis, you know that is Kimmy to Tommy.
Yeah.
But maybe there's someone in your home that can help you.
Oh.
That seems to be the case in this situation.
What happened?
Well, look, man, if you are married to dating someone that needs your help with your job, that can put a little strain on the relationship.
Oh, yeah.
You're hanging out in the break room. It's just classic rock, 96.5, WCMF. So Bill Belichick, legendary NFL coach. He's embarking on a new journey. He is the head coach of the University of North Carolina football team.
Mm-hmm.
He took that job a couple weeks ago. And not only is that the big news for him, the other big news, the 72-year-old football coach is currently dating a 24-year-old woman.
Dude, she's 24?
Oh, yeah. 24.
I think they met when she was like graduating college, right? Like she was
on a plane
and talking about like her final something about schoolwork, and that's how they bonded. He was helping her with her schoolwork.
It's so gross. Like the pictures
it's a weird
of them together,
side by side.
Aren't they on the beach somewhere where he's like shirtless?
They're doing like I forget what they call it. Some type of yoga.
Beach yoga is what I heard. Like, it's the pictures they're disgusting.
Yes,
every picture of them together is disgusting.
Yeah.
He's old enough to be her grandfather.
Yeah, this has got to be the, for celebrities, this has to be the biggest age gap ever. Because I'm trying to think of other like guys that were famous that dated younger women.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've seen anything where a guy's in his 70s hitting 20s.
Well, with the charm that Belichick has, can you blame
him? I was going to say, you know what I think's bothering me the most? It has nothing, because we've seen like the old guy, young woman dynamic before. Yeah. It's him looking like he's enjoying things that's making me wildly uncomfortable. Like, he smiles.
Yeah, I get
it. And I've never seen that man smile until recently, and I'm like, what's going on? This is weird. I don't like it. I don't like him looking like this. This is just different.
Kimmy, all of America's uncomfortable. I don't think you should feel bad about that. But getting back to the story, it turns out that Bill Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend is not only taking a role in his life, she will be taking a role in his job as well.
Like an assistant?
No. Well, so she doesn't have an official title at University of North Carolina. However, emails obtained this week by a reporter in North Carolina shows that Belichick himself instructed the school to include his 24-year-old girlfriend in emails to him involving social media and web content and which interviews with media he should do.
Okay.
So she's almost going to manage his online profile?
And his PR person.
Yes, she's
a PR person. Okay, yeah.
Essentially, that's it. She will be in charge of his Instagram. She's going to tell him, Kimmy, what shows are worth and not worth his time based on who's trendy and who's not.
All right.
So... but she wants to get paid through the school to do this.
No, so there's no pay.
He's just announcing that this is what's happening.
Yes, that she will be included on these emails.
All right.
And here's the thing. It makes this relationship so much more creepy because this situation is what CEOs do with interns in companies.
Yeah.
And that's not what boyfriends do with girlfriends. Your boyfriend shouldn't be so out of touch that he needs you to tell you, A, what his InstaFace password is.
Yeah.
And B, what shows are the kids listening to where they're going to hear me talking to want to come play football at North Carolina?
So he's using her as almost like a recruiting tool.
Yes, a recruiting intern. He is using his girlfriend as a recruiting intern.
I mean, it's not the worst idea on his part. She's going to relate to these kids way more than he is.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, makes it more disturbing. I agree with what you're saying.
I mean, it makes sense logically.
Okay, yes. But it brings up an interesting situation.
What's that?
Are you willing to do work for your spouse's job?
Well, I guess most people would if you've got the skill set.
Okay.
I think this might happen more than we think. Maybe not officially, where, like, you're being paid to do a job.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you're helping on the outside.
You're going to help, and you're going to, you know, add... where you can.
All right, the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Have you done work for your spouse's job? And I'm not talking getting paid, being on the payroll. I mean, like, helping your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, partner, whatever, do their gig. Have you ever had to do this?
No, but I have used old girlfriends to do things for me.
For example?
So,
they wrote your jokes?
Close. So, like, when I was trying to get into radio, when I was still, like, on the balls of my ass... down in Tampa and in Lexington.
Oh, I thought you were talking about last week.
That too. She had a master's degree at a Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. So she wrote all my resumes for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I couldn't write that.
This is the one you cheated on multiple times.
Oh, I was cheating on her while she was writing.
Okay.
So, no, be asked. So, like, she, she knew how to do all that stuff. I had no clue. And she did a phenomenal job. She went and printed it. She had, like, the font right, the borders, everything, like... she did an amazing job, and, like, it was, like, I didn't have to do a goddamn thing. And I didn't have to even think of, like, what was going to go on the paper.
So you used her as an employee?
Worse. I would call that slave labor, because I was literally cheating. I had no interest in this woman.
Okay.
I was completely using her.
You were engaged to this woman.
Yeah, I'm being honest.
I know, I'm just being honest. Okay.
I had no intention of marrying her. I was lying to her. I used her for everything I could get out of her. And yes, I'm a terrible person. I get it. But I also got this job, so I'll take it.
So who lost, really?
Listen, sometimes in life, you got to do what you got to do. You got to hold your nose and just plow through it. You know what? In hell, keep moving.
Okay, Churchill.
Oh, she never shaved her thighs, bro.
Kimmy, have you ever had to do work for a partner?
No. My husband has helped me, though, because, like, there was...
Oh, is that break we did last week? Firefighters are super cool.
So there was, like, this portal I had to sign up for a job, and I could not understand. Like, there were so many steps involved, and I'm like, what am I missing here? Why won't it let me in? So, like, my husband... like, figured it all out for me, and I was super grateful. But I could also see this, like, if my dad lost his job and he had to go searching for a new job, or had a job where he was dealing like on the computer a lot. Like, I can totally see my mother being his unofficial secretary.
Okay,
because he would have had no idea where to start.
Okay, so you have one situation where, Kimmy, it works out for you, your husband is still good. This situation where you admit you were just using this woman.
But he's still, yeah.
It worked out for you.
Absolutely.
Again, 252-WCMF, we're talking about 72-year-old Bill Belichick, head coach at the University of North Carolina, is using his 24-year-old girlfriend to help him with social media and whether or not he should do interviews. This is official, according to emails at the University of North Carolina. He's using her essentially as an employee. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
With Belichick and his 24-year-old girlfriend, I get it's different because if we're being real, just being his girlfriend, she's essentially working for him.
She's put in a lot of sweat equity on that man.
And there's a lot of sweat on that man.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine.
But in a normal, not vomit-inducing relationship,
yeah,
right, if you're helping your spouse with their job, you most likely also have a job you are doing
sure.
to keep the lights on in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Is it appropriate to ask your spouse to be like a part-time employee for you every once in a while?
I mean, if they're
good
at, and I was going to say, like, if they're good at something, if you're asking for their help that's, you know, in their realm of expertise, I would think that that's a smart move because it's only going to benefit you and they're helping you potentially get a better job or, you know, a better opportunity at work.
Look, I get it, but let's be real, right? Everybody's job, nobody works a 9-to-5 anymore, right?
No.
There's always stuff that comes outside of your gig. So if I'm at home and I'm working on stuff that I have to do or I'm worried about something and my spouse or partner comes to me and goes, hey, could you help me with this? It's like you're just putting more work on the work I already have to do.
But if you're both home and she or he are struggling now in the evening trying to figure this thing out, it would kind of move your evening along to help them to get this done so we can. I don't have to listen to this all night.
Okay.
I can't figure this out. It kind of shuts things down.
Wouldn't you feel guilty as the spouse not helping if you saw them struggling?
Yes, of course you're helping.
Yeah.
But I guess where my question is, where does the resentment start to show up? Because if you do this enough, there will eventually be resentment. Like, for example, there are plenty of folks that own small businesses that need all hands on deck. Think of, like, folks that show up at, like, farmers markets or, like, craft fairs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right?
That has to take a toll on a relationship when your partner works all week long and then you have him sitting at a table helping sell whatever it is that you sell, loan the truck,
unload the truck. You got to do all the heavy lifting.
Like, that would, I love my wife. I would do it for my wife. I can honestly say,
after a while,
it would really start to wear on you.
Yeah, because it's not your thing.
Yeah. Really. I think when it starts to become an expectation that you do that kind of stuff.
But I think when
it starts to wear thin.
But I do believe that when people start these ventures, and God bless you, that there is an expectation that the partner is going to step up and help.
Especially like if you, so like my sister, her fifth husband, he owned this little meat market. And when they got together, she started working in the meat market. She left her other job. So she kind of like ran the front end of the place. And she was good at it. You know, because she had been trained for it her whole life. But she came in and she was good at it. So he just stayed in the back and just let her run all of it. Like she jumped into it not realizing that he had no skill for this. And then she ended up doing all that crap. And it kind of wore on her pretty quick.
And, like, to that point,
yeah,
right? Like, you know, you talk about how you should never go into business with your spouse.
Right.
Right? Like, in this situation, you would get the worst part of being in business with your spouse without the benefits of owning your own business.
Yes.
Right? Like, you're my employee. I'm not getting paid. We're not, as a family, overall benefiting from taking all of the profit.
Right.
It just seems like a dicey situation.
It sucks.
I mean, granted, again, a 24-year-old girlfriend dating a 72-year-old rich man doesn't really have a lot of place to be like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, true.
No, thank you.
I would also think this has to happen, too. You jump in to help because you see the struggle or they ask, and they start to tell you that you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, that right, would
piss
me off.
Why did I help then? You do it. Like, or I don't like it that way. How about we do it this way?
Oh, so now
and
you're
bound
getting
to happen because, you know, you're probably not going to agree on everything.
But that's a dig move.
But it's their job. They know how it's supposed to be done.
Right. But if you start like telling them, well, I don't like it, like, you know, like now you're really being taken advantage of.
But here's the thing. If it's got to be done the right way, and that this is where the problem shows up. I understand why somebody who has to have something done a certain way asks for help and goes, wait, no, it has to be done this way. You're right. It's a dick move.
Right.
It's also necessary for what's happening here.
All right, but that's a dicey road to go.
What else are you supposed to do? That work that person's putting in may not be valuable in any way because...
Oh, it had to be so off for me to say something because as big as a dick I was with this girl that I was my fiance at the time, I wasn't going to question her. I just needed this thing done. And I didn't know what the hell this thing even should look like. So whatever she wrote down, looked pretty professional and cool to me because I couldn't do that crap, which makes me a good person.
Yes, absolutely. Way to redeem yourself in the end.
Give me a point for that.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to John. Hey, John, how are you? Oh, hey, John, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Just a quick question about the Bill Belichick question or situation. Mm-hmm. Where's the disgust at a 24-year-old woman taking advantage of a 70-year-old man?
I don't think she's taking advantage of him, John. I think he fully understands the situation.
So why is it only disgusting if he wants to be with her? Why is it not disgusting for her to want to be with a 70-year-old man?
Well, here's why. John, I want you to walk through the logic in your head as to why a 24-year-old woman would want to be with a 72-year-old man.
All of his money when he dies.
Exactly. No, I mean, that's the situation. And I get it. I'm not saying this woman is doing anything wrong.
Happens all the time.
I'm not saying he's doing anything wrong. But, John, there are some jobs that are... There are some... John, hold on.
The disgust? That's all. That's just my question. It's just, where's the disgust at her for doing it?
No. I'm not disgusted by her. I'm disgusted by the... I saw him shirtless on the beach. That's what was gross to me yesterday.
Oh, okay.
John, are you upset that people look at this relationship and say that something's not authentic about it?
Well, it's not his relationship that's concerning. It's just the whole general fact. We often see nowadays younger women going after older, richer men. It's always the men that are talked about being creepy and gross.
Yeah.
Where is the disdain against these women?
Well, what's your disdain? Because you're obviously got a problem with it.
I'm just wondering, why is it never talked about?
No, what's pissing you off about this girl? Because obviously something's pissing you off about this girl. What is it?
That everyone calls the guy creepy, but not the girl.
I think you're missing Tommy's question. We all agree in this room that Bill Belichick is a gross person. And that's fine. We all get gross as we get older. You seem to have a problem. Hold on. You seem to have a problem with what this 24-year-old woman is doing. What is your problem with her, John?
My problem is not with her or what she's doing. My problem is just, where is the disgust and the disdain for younger women in their 20s going after men that are grandfathers?
So there should be.
I just don't
there
understand.
Should be.
And
there...
That's what I mean.
Okay,
I'm
so why? What is it then, John? That's okay, John. Thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
This isn't a new thing.
No, you know what the problem is.
These days, younger women are going for older men. Since the beginning of time, bro.
Let me explain. John sounds like a younger guy. John may or may not have a hard time meeting women.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's my biggest problem.
Yeah.
So we're going to leave that alone. We're all going through our own
journey. That's a weird thing to get triggered by.
Gimme. We're all going through our own journey.
Sure.
All right. So maybe you should become a really popular football coach.
All right.
Right?
There you go.
And you'll make a lot of money. Okay.
Well, that was fun while it lasted.
A chance to go down in history.
Wow.
Immortality in one town in the greater Rochester area.
Pretty cool.
And the test sounds simple. But I think we're all about to figure out how hard this can be, because just mixing a few delicious tasting things, Tommy, ain't going to cut it. You got to have a creative mind, an open belly to pull off what this local business is asking people to do.
So what I got to do?
You're hanging out in the break room. It's just Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Tommy, Molly V's, you familiar?
No, what is it?
It's an ice cream shop in Victor.
Oh.
And they need your help. The shop is running a contest asking customers to invent their newest ice cream flavor.
What flavors are left?
Okay.
You've done every flavor.
You have not done every flavor.
No. You've done every flavor. Every flavor, that's not gross.
No, there's some gross ones. We still carry on.
Right.
So the store says the person who comes up with their new concoction will win, and I quote, a fabulous prize.
Okay.
And you know what's good? It's fabulous.
Well, fabulous is very good.
So story in the DNC talks to the owner, and just to give you a basis of what you're up against here, the store already has some unique flavors. For example, last year they used barley wine from local No BS Brewing Company, other ingredients from the Smoking Tails Distillery to make a butter pecan bourbon ice cream.
So booze ice cream.
Yes. They also have a key lime pie ice cream that is getting rave reviews like up and down the East Coast.
Oh.
Right? And... Brain is right, can join that storied list. Anybody got an idea?
Well, I thought you had it, really. Okay. You're saying no. I didn't think you could put booze in the ice cream.
You don't even want to think about something?
Well, now that you say booze, I guess it kind of opens things up a little bit, right?
Well, Tommy does his hardcore thinking. Kimmy?
Yeah.
Any ideas?
I'm trying to think of something that you wouldn't normally associate with ice cream. But also booze.
Okay, now we're both doing booze.
It oh, I thought we were supposed to do.
Does not have to be booze.
Oh, okay.
Booze was one of the options. What an alcoholic show we are.
I thought you needed it to have.
Could you put meat in the ice cream?
Yeah, you could. Yeah. So Tom Walls did a cheeseburger ice cream for April Fool's Day.
You drink a milkshake with a burger, so it does go together.
But
right?
Could you put bacon in ice cream?
Yeah,
I've seen that before. I think that exists.
Ooh, it's out. Give me a
see. That's what I mean. Like all this fusion crap's been done to death.
Stay with me, Tommy.
Right. I'm right here.
Tommy, stay with me, Tommy.
What about? And I have no idea if this would work or not, but I know people love these pickle ice cream.
I think it already exists.
It does?
Yes,
I've never heard of pickle ice cream.
Google it. There's like 40
pickle
ice cream.
So there's like bits of pickle in the ice cream?
Yeah, so it's like it's the sweet and the...
Sour.
Yeah. See, not easy. Not easy coming up with a guy with things. Oh, you just come up with new... sweetie, bambolini. No, it doesn't work. It's really hard to come up with new ice cream flavors.
Oh, could you go fish fry ice cream?
Oh!
See, you can't make it work.
No, you also need to make it. You need to make something that's gonna stay good for a while, right? Like I feel like
fish in an ice cream. All right. So the story of the DNC says the guy who owns Molly V's and Victor. He told the paper when he needs inspiration, he walks up and down the candy aisle at the grocery store to see what he thinks would go good together. By the way, what a dream job!
Yeah.
I walk up and down a candy aisle to come up with new ice cream flavors. Did anyone's guidance counselor tell them that was a route they could have gone down?
No,
missed the boat. Except for you. Sweets aren't for you. Okay. Here's my question.
What?
As you guys try and come up with more delicious flavors like fish fry ice cream.
Well, I mean, like you know, I'm telling you, there ain't another flavor out there. It's done.
Are you?
I'm just thinking of snacks, but I feel like they're already all
freaking
in
snacks.
How is that different than any other moment of this show?
Like potato chip ice cream, I'm sure
that's
exists.
Been done. Seen that.
See?
Okay. You guys just aren't being creative.
No, but I even in my
ice cream.
Chice cream?
Chice cream.
What kind of cheese?
I don't know. What cheese is it? Like cheddar?
Ooh, like a Blintz ice cream? You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, but that would be more of a cream cheese.
Yeah, that's fine. But you like find a way to get the dough in there. I have never seen Blintz ice cream before. Put some blueberries in one, cherries in another. We're getting somewhere, guys.
All right.
Guys, we're getting somewhere.
All right, so more of like a deli creation.
Yeah. Like a pastry, but an ice cream at the same time. A piced cream.
Ice cream
doesn't work as well as I thought it was going to.
And again, I bet you it's already been done.
Okay, look at Google Blintz ice cream, Kimmy.
I bet you there's some Jewish delicatessen in Brooklyn that's already doing this.
Can you? All right, hold on. Let's think here. Yeah, that would be kosher.
Bam.
Oh.
So you would have like little pieces of spam and ice cream.
She may have done it. She may have.
I don't know if that exists.
It'd be good though.
All right, what else you put in there? Oh, you got the spam. What kind of ice cream, Kimmy? Vanilla ice cream.
I think you got to go base,
Yeah. I don't know if chocolate's going to work.
No, chocolate and meat is not going to work.
Uh-oh, it might exist.
No, chocolate's going to look like a dump.
Which is why.
Okay, so somebody did create. So there are home recipes for Spam ice cream, and they include maple and brown sugar in it.
Ooh.
So it's a maple bacon crunch ice cream recipe.
Gimme, that's it. Enter your.
What? I got it.
No, you don't.
No, I do.
I'm afraid.
And you're in.
Oh, okay.
You're all in.
What we got?
Fried bologna ice cream.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm in on that.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm in hard on that.
Because that would be even better than the spam.
All right, so here's what you do. You ready for this? We're going to make it good. And we're going to steal it from Zimmerman's in the public market.
Right.
Fried bologna.
Yeah.
Meat sauce.
And the ice cream.
Yep. Vanilla, like swirl.
Swirl up.
Vanilla ice cream. And we need something sweet. What goes with it? Brown sugar? Would that work?
Yeah. Right on.
But the meat sauce would be cold. Is it still going to work cold?
Maybe it's without the meat. Maybe it's just the flavor of the meat sauce. I think that would go.
Right. Mm.
Done. Next job.
All right, set him in.
All right. 252 WCMF. We're talking about Molly V's out in Victor. They're looking for a new ice cream flavor. They make their ice creams, and they say the person who decides their new ice cream flavor will win a fabulous prize. Are you guys more likely to go to an ice cream place with established flavors or an ice cream place that makes their own flavors? For example, Kimmy and I, we're both old ice cream pros. We worked at Lugia's and Spencerport separate times when we were in high school. And Kimmy, they get their ice cream from like Breyers or Perry's.
I think it's Perry's.
Okay, right. So that's one of the places that has well-known flavors.
Yeah. Old school.
Yeah. This place in Victor is designing all of their ice creams.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you more in on?
I guess I was going to go with ice cream. I'm not a big ice cream eater. I would go traditional. I don't want all your fusion crap.
No, even the Perry's has like fusion crap.
Yeah. But I want base.
Like they'll have limited edition ice creams.
I want base ice cream.
You just want vanilla ice cream?
Vanilla chocolate, something like that. Maybe a little Rocky Road. I like nuts in my ice cream.
You seem like a Spumoni guy.
I love Spumoni.
You are dressed like Spumoni guy today.
Spumoni is very good. I like Italian
ice. Like if you walked up to the window, this guy's definitely getting Spumoni.
Spumoni is so gross. Here's a random cherry.
But it has to be done right. It's delicious. Hey, would you eat, because I'm thinking of Italian food, a pizza flavored ice cream or a meatball flavored ice cream?
I think meatball would go better. I don't know how pizza would taste with ice. Yeah, you don't really have
to like the cheese. Like the pepperoni and the cheese.
With ice cream, though? What about pizza goes sweet?
Tomato.
Yeah, it's too acidic.
No, all right. So what about a meatball?
Meatball, my brother. Like little piece of cut up meatball?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would go.
All right.
Kimmy, are you established ice cream person or are you artisan ice cream person?
I feel like the artisan ice cream pushes me out of my comfort zone.
Okay.
Because I'll have like these big ideas going to the ice cream place. Like, I'm going to try something new today. And then I end up with like the same two flavors that I always do. So maybe I need to push myself a little bit and go for like the unique flavors, try something new every now and then.
So this Molly V's place
actually
caused a huge fight between my wife and I the one time we went.
What happened?
The kids had to go to the mall and I wanted ice cream. Like, you know, you don't get ice cream a lot.
Mm.
And we've talked about how a lot of ice cream places have closed the last couple of years, so I knew there was this place down the road. Never been before. I go, I want to go check it out. My wife's like, no, I know, I'm going to go home. And I was like, well, I'm driving, so we're getting ice
cream. Seize control.
So we're getting ice cream. So she did this thing where she was like, well, you go get it. I'm not going. I don't want any.
All right.
So like, she's going to try and shame me into eating ice cream by myself. I'm like,
okay. So you muscled through it?
Yep. I go in. I get my ice cream, and I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and I'm eating my ice cream. And she looks at it. She's like, oh. She went and got her own ice
cream. Of course.
Which made me mad because it's like we could have just all been done with our ice cream. Like, you know. But I got to tell you, man, as much as I am an established ice cream person, where I want like what my flavors I know, this Molly V's place, really good.
Okay.
Really good.
All right.
Kimmy, you should really submit the spam or the fried bologna ice cream idea.
Okay.
Can we as a show get a fabulous prize?
What is the prize? They don't say?
It just says fabulous.
So it's just going to be ice cream, right? It's going to be like a year supply of ice cream, you can go down once a week and get a scoop.
We're probably overshooting it with a year supply of ice cream. So there's just a pint of your own ice cream. How about this?
What's
put Kimmy's face on.
Do I want to be on the spam ice cream?
Queen spam.
I mean, look, it's as good as it's going to get for your career, Kimmy.
Yeah, it's
true. She was the face of spam.